The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today, I have Dr. Brianne Grogan, known as Dr. Bree, on the line. I'm so excited. Oh my God. So I got to tell you guys a little bit about her first because it kind of gives you the premise for this. I have been like stalking her books forever. She's got a book called Lady Bits. She has a wonderful YouTube channel that has a ton of videos that can help you with your pelvic floor. And in particular, it kind of answers a lot of the questions that you're like, ooh, I don't know if I can talk to my friends. I don't even know if I can talk to my mom or even my doctor about what's happening down below. So she is the master of all those things. She is all about movement for every type of body. Dr. Bree, thank you so much for coming on. Oh,
I'm so glad to be here. And what a wonderful introduction. I can just tell we're going to be like besties here. So
can't wait. So let's dive in because like I was saying, I have a ton of folks in my practice who kind of come in and they're like, so I've been just trying this new workout program out and we have to do a lot of jumping, like box jumps and jump ropes. And sometimes things don't feel so fresh down below. I'm leaking and I have to go to the bathroom. And sometimes I've gone to the bathroom before the workout. And there's a bunch of guys who are coaches and I can't talk to anybody. So I'm looking around at the other ladies and going, does anybody else have this problem? And nobody's saying anything. So pelvic floor problems as you get older. Bree, tell us a little bit about why this happens to folks. Even if they haven't had children, what's going on with their pelvic floor? Why do we get leakage with jump roping and jumping and laughing?
Oh my gosh, this is a huge issue for so many women. And you're right, people don't want to talk about it. And at the gym, like your scenario is perfect. I can just picture it. You know, the women are tying a sweatshirt around their waist, you know, and they're only wearing the black leggings. I mean, granted, all of us want to wear the black leggings because who likes that crotch sweat, right? Like, who likes that? But
true.
Besides that, when you have, you know, leakage, that's it's very, very common. And one in three women do experience bladder leakage. And the percentage, that's kind of an average. It's a little more for older women and a little less for younger. But you're right. Even women who have not had children definitely can experience bladder leakage, even prolapse, pelvic organ prolapse, which can affect up to 50% of women who've had babies. So that's when everything's kind of hanging a little low. There's that feeling of heaviness and pressure, and sometimes it can accompany bladder leakage, sometimes not. There's really a variety of, it's a huge topic because there's a variety of reasons for both these issues, pelvic organ prolapse, bladder leakage, and other things that can happen. Just to make it really, really general, one reason can be kind of an underactive laxity in the pelvic floor, lack of coordination, kind of like a weakness. Mm-hmm. And I think back in, you know, in all my experience, but back when I was going through training as to get my, you know, certification as a women's health physical therapist, this is, 12 to 10 years ago, that time period, I feel like back then we were treating more people. Granted, we were always giving examinations and really, really looking at what was going on. But I feel like for the most part, we usually were treating people more toward there was a weakness. And now I'm finding more and more that through just even verbal description of what's going on, because I don't actually do physical examinations anymore. I'm totally online, my work. But even through verbal examinations and then talking with my colleagues, it seems like actually hyperactivity, overactivity in the pelvic floor can be just as problematic and just as common as laxity and weakness. So we think of this as something that happens as we get older, and it is true. The tissues do become a little bit more lax in general as we get older, and part of that can be from less movement, less exercise and movement in our life, less big transition changes. When we're little kids, you know, we're up and down, we're squatting, we're doing all the functional things we're really supposed to do as humans. But as grown-ups, we have chairs and we have couches and we have work and we have cars. And so we're not getting up and getting down and we're not walking probably as much as we should. And so that definitely adds up over time. And then you add to that, you know, things that naturally promote loss of collagen in our tissues, such as hopefully nobody's smoking still, but that definitely contributes. Even lack of hydration can be problematic if you are experiencing a loss of collagen in your tissues. Lack of hydration is something that actually a lot of people experience as they get older. They just get too busy to drink water or to drink anything. And also hormonal changes is huge. So declining estrogen can absolutely break down or decrease the levels of collagen in our body. And this one, I get a kick out of this one because cortisol, which is this, you know, stress hormone, essentially, it causes a breakdown of collagen. And many of us experience a little more stress as some of us have teenage children. I do. And, you know, as we get older, as our child turns 12, it gets a little more stressful. And it's just kind of unfortunate timing because that's right when our hormone levels are changing anyway. And then we have this stress that breaks down collagen. So it's just like, it's a perfect storm for stuff to happen with our tissues. So I'll stop there. I know I've just jabbered on for a long time, but hopefully that was a good start to that question.
No, it's great. I think it's like not fair in life that, yeah, we start to decline on our hormones when the kids are like ramping up and it seems, yeah, like that perfect storm right at the same time. It's like, what the heck?
It is absolutely unfair. It's a cruel trick of nature that adolescence happens during perimenopause.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hear it all the time in my practice. I am not a parent. I have two fur babies, but what I've experienced and what I've seen with a lot of patients in my office is the flux in the hormones as related to when there might be more bladder leakage at a certain time of the month. And yeah, that's another thing that, like you were mentioning in terms of estrogen levels fluxing, but also cortisol. Because if I look back and I go, okay, a lot of my patients who do CrossFit have a lot of the jump roping routines they have to do. And a lot of times it comes up when they're getting towards a competition. And so now you've got, who knows where the hormones are at, and now you've got the cortisol as well going on in there. Mm. So just bringing it back a little bit to reality of what the heck is going on.
Yeah. And just understanding your body. Well, and about the menstrual cycles, that's a wonderful point and something that definitely I'd like to address, because not only do we have, of course, you know, hormonal shifts and changes during the cycle, but just physiologically, your uterus changes position a bit during the cycle. It's not a ton, but a little bit. The uterus, the cervix is higher during ovulation, and it gets a little lower because in part the uterus is getting heavy. It's getting full of the stuff it's about to shed if you're not pregnant. You know, closer to your period, everything is a little lower anyway. And so that might be a time when you might experience a little more leakage and pressure and that kind of feeling closer to your period. Despite the hormonal things, just physiologically, just the shifts and changes of where your uterus and cervix, which is hooked to your uterus, where that is in your body.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea.
Yeah. So you can kind of track those changes by feeling. If you want to, you can, you know, feel your cervix with your finger, which feels like the tip of your nose. It's kind of a weird description, but it's true.
True.
And it moves throughout your cycle. So that's something kind of interesting for people to experiment with if they
absolutely
are so inclined. Yes.
I mean, I think the more you know about the body and the more you know about your body, the more you're going to get answers and you're going to find solutions. Yes. So if someone's struggling with this and they want to keep going to the gym, they don't want to tie, you know, a sweatshirt around their waist and they're wanting these like Lulu white, you know, tights that they're dreaming of, and they don't care about sweat anyway in that department. What does the girl do? What do we do?
Well, the first thing I always recommend is to go see a women's health physical therapist. So just a plug for my career field. Like I said, I don't see people clinically anymore, but it's getting to be a really growing profession. And again, back 12 years ago when I was first getting into it, it was still it wasn't brand new, but I just feel like it's exploded in recent years. Thank God, because people are finally starting to talk about this, even though it's still taboo. But there's a lot more women's health physical therapists now, and you can go to, you can just type into Google a women's health physical therapist locator, and there are a few different services out there. One is through the American Physical Therapist Association section on women's health, which is what I went through. So there's a link for that. You can find that easily. Or you can just, you know, ask for recommendations. Now, just know that your doc, your gynecologist, so you would, but other docs who are not quite as open-minded or intelligent as you are not necessarily going to know about women's health PT as a specialty. So it's still, even in the medical field, not super well known or something that is necessarily thought about as a first, you know, line of defense or a resource. And so you might need to bring it up to your doctor, your gynecologist, or whoever you're seeing, if you'd like to have a referral. Now, many states have direct access now, but that's a whole nother conversation. So anyway, that is kind of the first line of defense, is to actually see someone in person, because having a physical examination is really, really helpful. If you are up for that, it's very helpful for you to know whether you're doing, you know, where the heck your pelvic floor even is, and right. You're able to, yeah, like what's going on. And your PT can help you with that, because they're going to, you know, most likely do an examination, and that will allow them to help you locate the pelvic floor, locate whether or not you can do a solid contraction and relaxation, assess the strength of your hip and the rest of your core muscles, because it's all connected. You can't just go do Kegels and expect this to be solved. But
oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
Like, well, I guess I just need more Kegels. I'm like, no.
No. And we don't necessarily need jade eggs, and we don't necessarily need all of these things. It's not that anything's bad. Kegels aren't bad. Jade eggs aren't bad. It's just that they're not necessarily good for everyone. So that's why it's really important to go see someone if you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those of you who want to go to my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com, I will put all the links for you, everything, even how to get a hold of Brianna, her book, and everything. So in terms of looking at overall core and overall hip mobility and pelvic mobility, you have an amazing resource of just tons of videos in your YouTube site. It's like amazing, your YouTube channel. So it's FemFusion Fitness, everybody. And you have one that I have to talk about for a moment, because I think everyone could do this in the shower, even just for fun. You have a belly dancing video for opening up your hips. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best. So I want you to talk a little bit with folks in terms of how hip tension and can contribute to pelvic floor issues, and how we need to also address these other things. So I think a lot of people are going, well, okay, I can go to and find a pelvic floor PT and I can get that figured out. But like, what can I do right now in terms of home stuff, in terms of, I know my pelvis is tight. I can't sit Indian style without my knees being, you know, 20 inches off the floor. You know, what can I do to help my hips? And so that one with the belly dancing, where you're kind of raising the hip up and doing that. Oh my God, I love that. So tell us a little bit about that. What's up with moving the hips related to pelvic floor?
Oh, it's my favorite topic, is hip circles. I love it. So it's actually one of the reasons I got out. I'm not working clinically because my family and I moved overseas. So we live in Germany now, that's a whole nother story. But one thing, when I was in Portland, which is where I'm from, and I was working in a regular outpatient orthopedic clinic and seeing women's health patients, but I was just so bothered by the fact that what I really wanted to do is get these women just moving their bodies and moving their hips. Because like you said, it really helps. Because when you're doing those movements and you're strengthening and releasing and just getting that supple movement, because that's really the key. That's what a Kegel for the pelvic floor should be anyway, is a supple contract and a release. And so to kind of just do these Kegel exercises and maybe some boring like bird dogs and clamshells in a clinic, like that was so boring and awful. And I thought, let's make this more fun. And so that's how Femme Fusion Fitness was actually born, was a fitness class that I created in a live, you know, in-person fitness class that used a lot of dance and a lot of hip circles and some belly dance, Latin dance. I'm not an excellent dancer, but I've tried a lot of little things here and there.
Oh my gosh, you're fooling me.
Oh no, I'm really quite awful, to be honest with you. Like, you asked me to like memorize routine or follow someone else, not gonna happen. But I can kind of move my hips. And that's the thing, is I'm like, wow, moving my hips, first of all, it's a great workout. It's really good for the pelvic floor and the rest of the core. It's great for flexibility and strength. And it makes me feel sexy and it makes me feel like a lady. And no, I'm not coordinated. And no, I'm not good at like learning dances, but I can do this. And it makes me smile. And so that's why I created this class that was simple. Like, Zumba is really hard. I can't do Zumba very well.
I had to hide. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in the back of the class and like let all these other folks go in the front. And then like I kept feeling like when they turned, they were all looking at me and I'm like, oh yeah, I was a Zumba failure.
That's exactly it. And so I wanted to make a class that was simpler than that, but yet still got you a great workout. And so we incorporated a lot of squats, but in a safe way where you really focus on engaging the pelvic floor and exhaling on the way up and then the hip circles and all that. So long story short, I kind of went off on a tangent here, but that's how my fitness movement was born. And that's what I've now taken to my YouTube channel, although it's a bit different than my fitness classes were because those I had fun music and they were kind of more choreographed. My YouTube channel is very different. I have a broad variety of different workouts. And if people want, I think one of the easiest ways to see what I have to offer, because I literally have, I want to say over 500 videos [S2] Nice. [S1] That I've shot over the last 10 years. But I do have a way you can get to all of my playlists all in one place. Okay. It's kind of hard to navigate from the main YouTube page, but if you go to bit.ly/femplaylists, and that's F with a capital F, fem, and playlists with a capital P and an S on the end. Sorry, so hard. But I can share that with you later if you didn't get it.
I'm writing it down right now.
Okay, good. But that has all of my playlists all in one place. And there's one that's specifically about hip circles. There's one called Beginner Core that has, by the way, my videos are of all qualities. I still shoot on an iPhone. They're still nothing fancy, but way back when, 10 years ago, they're awful. I'm just warning you now. If you get an old video, I'm sorry. Don't say I didn't warn you. They're terrible. One of them, I have like headsets, external headsets that are
Oh my God.
I look like a phone operator. It's just awful. But I keep them up.
You should. I mean, that's the real stuff. That's what, that's what, and I first found you. I mean, that's what was out there. And all my patients loved it. I have guys in my office doing hip circles from your videos. So, no.
That makes me so happy.
It's not about that. You know what? It's fun to see where we've come technologically too, though.
For sure.
Listening to my first podcast, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
We're just getting better.
Every day we get a little bit better. So yeah. And I was saying that I just recorded 5 videos today that are, I release about 1 a week and I just want to release them all now, but I can't. So much good stuff in the works, including Spiral Dance Foga, which is coming. Foga is my special fitness/yoga. Uh-huh. And the whole Foga playlist. And Spiral Dance Foga is going to blow your mind. And it's coming out in a couple of weeks. I'm so excited.
I love it. Oh my God. I wrote that down. So I am going to be totally watching. So you guys, you got to go over to her YouTube channel and subscribe. I mean, it's amazing stuff and it's fun stuff. Like the hip circles, when you first put up the video with your friend or patient that it was like, I love hip circles. I was like, me too. This is great. And then when you started to get into some of the belly dancing moves, and I mean, like you said, it makes you feel feminine, but it also just is fun. And I've got guys doing it too. So, if you're listening to this and you've got a guy that's having a little bit of pelvic floor stuff or some issues with bladder leakage too. I mean.
Oh yeah, totally. And actually that's my next project I'm working on is a course that's for men. So that's happening right now. So I'm glad you brought that up because everyone has a pelvic floor, men, women, alike. So men tend to have more issues. Well, not necessarily more. A lot of men, especially after prostate surgery and that kind of thing, have issues with bladder leakage. But pain and tension is a big issue for men as well. So that's really what my course coming up is focusing on, is pain and tension for men. And soon after, there will be a version for women as well, I'm sure.
I love it. I'm making notes.
Yeah, that's coming soon. I'll send you a link later, that a wait list that people can sign up. It's not ready yet. It'll be available in a couple months.
Okay, guys, gotta subscribe to know what's up. So the next thing, speaking of pain, let's talk about pelvic pain, because, oh my goodness, I do acupuncture, and I've seen some really sad cases where gals are like, yeah, I've, you know, never been able to enjoy sex. My husband and I don't have sex. It's like, oh my goodness, this is so sad. But also just in terms of how the pelvic floor pain affects their life and being able to sit and being able to function throughout the day. So let's talk a little bit about why, like, what is going on in there? Like, what's happening? Like, what is that pelvic floor doing?
Yeah. And I mean, it can be from a number of causes. Pelvic pain can be from, you know, kind of stemming from an injury, some kind of issue, a physical trauma like that. It could stem from emotional trauma, rape or abuse, something like that. It could stem from endometriosis and or terrible cramps every month, or it can stem from prolapse or bladder leakage, where because of that, you're constantly feeling like you have to hold everything in. And so the muscles are really, really tight. So any of those things can cause over time issues with tension, or issues with almost like, you know, that reflexive, like sock in the gut, like you reflexively protect yourself by clenching up. And so over time, that's really usually what's involved with pain, is excessive tension in the muscles. So the pelvic floor muscles and also the surrounding muscles as well. And oftentimes the, you know, tension and all of that will almost overflow and create digestive disturbances and a whole host of other things. It kind of becomes this tangled web. So yeah, it's very common, and it can definitely cause, absolutely, sex can be impossible and can actually contribute to a condition called, you know, vaginismus, where the muscles just literally will not allow anything, even a tampon or anything, into the vagina.
Yes, yes. And I think that is something really important that ladies need to get investigated, because I think a lot of people, maybe we've had some trauma, emotional, sexual, whatever it may be, and we may be thinking, well, I'm permanently damaged. Like, there's nothing I can do about this. But there's lots of things. And this is where I love to talk about this with ladies, because yeah, some ladies can't put in tampons and they're going, well, you know, that's just life. There's nothing, you know, that's me.
Yeah.
No, there's so much more you can be doing. Mm-hmm. So I love that conversation of just that there are other things.
There is huge hope. And it's really like that for so many things that we've talked about so far today, the pain, the bladder leakage, the even period, you know, menstrual cramps, or everything we've said, really. It's like, I think so often people think, well, it's just a natural part of life, or it's just something I have to deal with. But, you know, I mean, even like menstrual cramps, they're very, very common and I guess normal. I mean, your uterus is cramping because it's shedding, and that does cause some pain, but the debilitating pain that so many people feel is actually not normal. And there may be something behind it, something underlying that could be uncovered and dealt with. And at the very least, maybe you could get some, even just the awareness that there is the muscles in that area, and that you can do things to relax them. You can take magnesium supplements. You know all about this. I mean, I'm sure you give advice about this, but I mean, there's so much you can do from a holistic perspective when you have issues such as pelvic pain or bladder leakage or prolapse or any of this that don't necessarily involve surgery, or just living with it, or just having a glass of wine and, you know, calling it good. And that's how you have sex with your partner, you know?
No. I mean, it's huge. I think that's the biggest thing, not just settling for like, this is me. I don't want anybody to settle for that. I want people to ask questions. I want people to investigate. I want people to play around and see what works. So yes. That being said, let's talk a little bit about, okay, so say someone has vaginismus, say they've been to, you know, a doc, they've got it diagnosed, they're seeing a pelvic floor PT, but their pelvic floor PT isn't giving, you know, your videos out. So why
would you go over to FemFusion Fitness?
Right. So we need to, so say we've got a patient that needs to kind of have maybe just one video, you know, okay, to help with vaginismus. What would be like the thing they could search on FemFusion Fitness to maybe loosen things up a little and see if maybe things might work over time to loosen up?
Oh, I love that question. That's testing me because I've got so many videos, but there's a couple that come to mind that are within the last year I made. And one is I think I call it my 3-minute miracle for your pelvic floor.
Okay.
Check that out. Okay. It's really good for prolapse too. It's really for anybody. Because I always say, no matter what your condition is, it's pretty safe bet that if you actually focus on relaxing and releasing the muscles, it's going to be a really good starting place. Because even if you need to strengthen, you need to know how to relax before you can successfully contract. And so pretty much no matter what, blanket statement, and I don't usually do that, but it's pretty safe to say that that's a great place to start. But that particular video is actually longer than 3 minutes, but it explains some things. But basically you're lying down with your hips propped up on some pillows or even a yoga block. So it's elevated in case you do have prolapse. That can help move everything back down into place. And then you kind of open your legs apart and it just feels really good. So it's just a relaxing opening move. Now, if that's something, if you don't really like the way that feels, then another really good video is, oh gosh, it's quite new and it's like my top 3 quick stretches for your pelvic floor. So okay, that's another good one.
Okay.
But I would say the main thing I would tell you to do is to go to my pelvic pain/tension playlist, because that has all of them.
Okay.
And it's a great playlist. I have referred so many people to it, and I've had a lot of people get a lot of results from the top couple of videos that are on there that are about 20 to 30 minutes long. Perfect. So they're a little longer than those other ideas, but definitely start with relaxation stretches, opening stretches for your pelvic floor.
I think that.
And deep breathing. Deep breathing is also key. Yeah.
I was going to talk a little bit about breathing because breathing, you know, when we don't breathe, because let's go back. You were talking about how a lot of people have that sensation of being like punched in the belly kind of thing where they're tight there. And I think a lot of people have been brought up to, and ladies in particular, have been brought up to suck their belly in. Because we're trying to look thinner and keep things in. But I think at the same time, that's at the risk of messing with our breathing. And add on top of that stress where we breathe short anyway. And so now we've got all these shallow breaths. I'm a huge believer that how we breathe has to do with how much pain we have in our body.
Oh, yeah.
Locking down the thoracic cavity, it's locking down the shoulders. But I also believe that it's locking down the pelvis as well. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about breath work. What is your recommendation when someone's going through one of your videos to work on releasing the pelvis? How should they be breathing? What's a guideline? Something of that nature.
A video that I would really recommend is, well, I talk a lot about core breathing is what I call it, or I call it 360-degree diaphragmatic breathing. But one video that I really love for the pelvic floor, I like this imagery, is called Clearing Out the Cobwebs Mini Meditation. Since you're taking notes anyway, I thought I'll throw that out there. Clearing Out the Cobwebs Mini Meditation. And it has this imagery of a ball of light or something that's traveling up and down, all the way down to your pelvic floor, and then all the way up through the central channel up to the crown of your head. And so you can think of it almost like a piston, or like you're drawing, like a syringe drawing down and then coming up. As you're inhaling, you actually are drawing that ball of light down into your pelvic floor. Everything is expanding. And then as you exhale, you're shooting that ball of light up. So it's like drawing it down and then expanding and like breathing down into that perineum area is just so helpful. And I think that I have a problem with really shallow breathing myself. And I have a lot of mid back pain. I luckily don't have pelvic or low back pain, but I do have mid upper back pain. And just today I was realizing I've been really busy lately, and I went on a walk and I just allowed myself to sit on this bench, even though I kind of wanted more of a workout, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit on this dang bench and I'm going to breathe. And I allowed myself to do it. And it took like 5 minutes to get over the resistance to breathing. Like, I was resisting even breathing. And this is my job. Like, I know this information. And when I finally dropped the resistance and just melted into it, I was shocked. I actually physically was like, what the heck is happening? Because I felt like I was being breathed by like something else. I was literally expanding down low more than I have expanded in a long time. And I felt so good. I think that's one reason I feel good right now, is because I actually breathed. And just let yourself be breathed. And that expansion down into your pelvic floor is huge.
Oh, girl, what is it about that resistance? My God, I find myself doing that too all the time. I'm like, okay, just breathe. And that's like, nope. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. It's not happening. It's not. Oh my God. It's so crazy. And I think I know I'm not alone, and I know I'm in the industry of telling people to breathe too. And it's like, holy cow. Cause, and then there's the whole, like, I need more of a workout. I need to push myself harder. I need to get a better sweat. And then it's like, you do the breathing and you sit down and you're like, oh my God, I feel so much better. I feel so better than if I had just pushed myself.
You know, and I think you would agree with this. I bet you've probably even said this, but I've said that I truly think that relaxation can be considered a weight loss activity.
Yeah. It's hard to carry.
Now, it doesn't mean relaxation and, you know, eating bonbons, but like doing what I just said, you know, sitting, and rather than pushing yourself on this crazy walk or run that you don't want to do, and it's not getting you anything except putting more cortisol into your body, because it's a stressor, which is giving you more abdominal fat and making you have more wrinkles and a looser pelvic floor. And so you might as well just slow down and enjoy and stop and smell the roses and sit for a while. And I mean, I felt like I lost 5 pounds after that walk today, just because I gave myself, I truly believe that when you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, you actually weigh more. Like, the scale actually goes up.
Oh.
But when you are lighter, the scale kind of magically is like, oh, there, that's that number I wanted. So
it's crazy, but so true. Oh my gosh. People listening to this right now, do you hear that? Rewind, play it again, and then play it again 5 times until it sinks in and you do it. Because, oh my God, it's so true. Like, I have so many ladies that are in my practice and they're like, I can't lose weight. I'm gonna push myself harder. And it's like, no, don't do that. Look at some of the training, you know, the conditioning training, and as it relates to coming back off of a fight or flight experience, you're just wearing yourself out more. Oh, yeah. Good. I'm so glad we talked about that, because I need all the help I can get with telling my patients to breathe, and myself.
Us. it's a universal thing, unfortunately. I think some people have it figured out, but I know I don't. For everybody.
It's a struggle every day. I think a lot of people will go, oh, you're in the health industry, you know how to do this. I think of a lot of people that I see that are like, oh, you're perfect, no big deal. No, I have to fight with myself to find that relaxation. Oh, craziness. Oh, I'm glad we talked about that. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your book, because we haven't dove into that. And I want people to know about Lady Bits.
So, I can go grab it.
Yeah, grab it. I see it in the back there.
It's right here. So this is the book. It was actually published in 2015, amazingly enough. I can't believe it's been that long, but the info is all still good. It's really written for anybody to get a lot out of it. I want to write like I'm talking to somebody, and not like, it's not like a textbook at all.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
And so you're describing your story.
So, go ahead.
No, I'd love to hear a little bit about your story too, because this is something that brought you to wanting to focus on pelvic floor PT. And usually folks will bring it up at the beginning of the conversation, but I decided to kind of throw it in with a book to kind of give the premise to how did Dr. Bree get into all this? How, you know, has she decided to dedicate her life to this? So tell us a little bit about the backstory to the book and all of FemFusion Fitness.
Yeah, this has been such a fun interview, by the way. I got to say, you're a pretty amazing interviewer. So my story is covered in this book for sure, actually kind of in two separate parts, because I have a bit of a digestive health story, which is actually a really big piece of my life, is my digestive health. And then the other piece of the story is kind of my pelvic health story. So the real nutshell version is basically I experienced prolapse. I was slightly obsessed with running, and I got into running. I'd been running throughout my pregnancy and that kind of thing. And then after I gave birth to my son, I started running at about 3 weeks postpartum, which is not advisable. And I was a women's health PT at the time. Like, I knew not to do it, but I thought I was exempt. It doesn't count for me. I can run. And it didn't work. So I experienced leakage and then a mild prolapse. And luckily, because I was only 3 weeks postpartum, a lot naturally shifted and changed back into, like, I was definitely aided by having the natural, you know, hormones were changing. I actually wasn't able to breastfeed for very long. I was only able to breastfeed for about 6 weeks. And so I think that in a way kind of helped me, because the weaning actually changes the hormones in your body too. And so everything kind of came back up, but also I knew what to do as far as body mechanics, posture, holding my new baby, moving my new baby, and also specific core exercises to help kind of bring everything back into place. So that's really what, that was all happening right at the time that I was really getting into women's health and starting my fitness business. It all was this perfect storm. And I'm so glad that I had a personal experience with pelvic health stuff, because now I get it, you know? And I also get that you're not necessarily taken seriously, because I went to my midwife a couple of times and I was like, there's something wrong, because I'd examined myself. I knew how to examine myself standing up, which is the way you should examine, because we live our life upright. We don't live our life on an exam table with our feet up in stirrups. And so, you know, I'd examined myself in the correct functional position, and she examined me lying down in stirrups and was like, there's nothing wrong. And I said, well, you know, and I don't know, like I'm kind of a people pleaser, and I didn't really want to rock the boat. And so I just, you know, okay, I knew better. And so I went home and I did my work, but I know so many women don't know better, and, or they don't have the confidence, or they just don't know where to go. And so that's one reason I, you know, it's a big part of my story, and I do talk about it in the book. And I actually created a whole free course, the Lift series, which I can give you that link. It's totally free. And I've had over 5,000 women have gone through it now.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Huge. Yeah. I'm thinking of like adding this to my postpartum list of things that my ladies need to do.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's good for anyone just to go. I mean, it's not going to be a cure-all for everybody, but I think it just gives basic information. Again, we start with relaxation and just awareness of the pelvic floor, and then we move into some strengthening, and there's also lifestyle that's attached to every week in this 5-week program. So again, posture, body mechanics, making sure you try not to get constipated, all of these kinds of things like that. You know, there's so much that I would add to it and change as the years have gone by, but it's a really great, simple program for people to go through. So, the reason I wrote, so that's the pelvic health part of my story. I also, again, have a whole digestive health story that I won't get into, but there's just so much to know about our bodies. And I thought, I need to put this in a book. And I was learning so much for myself about the women's health stuff, the pelvic health stuff, and then just healthy living and, again, digestive health. And I wanted to make a really well-rounded book that kind of takes you through the stages of a woman's life and all the things that can happen and how to make it better without having to resort to surgery necessarily or medications or whatever. Natural things that we can all do to make it better and to also, you know, feel confident and sexy as long as we can. So that's in a nutshell what the book is about. It's, I like to say, you don't have to be an expert, but every woman should know a bit.
Oh yeah. A bit about our bodies. I'm so shocked how many people are so disconnected from their bodies these days. And yeah, that I think is what I liked about Lady Bits. And that's what I like about what you do, is you're connecting folks to get them to feel their body and feel it in a different way than what they're used to. So mm-hmm. absolutely huge. Now, I know you don't want to go into digestive stuff personally on your own person.
Oh, I can. It's just, I could talk to you for like 55 hours about this. So
One of my focuses of my practice is pain. The other side definitely has to be gut, because I'm a naturopath. What naturopath doesn't talk about the gut? And I think, you know, constipation is a big deal, but also having things on the other end related to the pelvic floor. So let's talk about, we could talk about you, we could talk about in general in terms of what people might experience when they have pelvic floor issues, what kind of gut issues kind of go hand in hand. So if folks are trying to see, oh, could that be part of things, and trying to connect the dots?
Yeah, well, I'll tackle one, because it's one that I'm more personally experienced with, and it really hits on prolapse a lot, which is something that's just so huge, and it's a lot of what I help people with, and that is constipation. So absolutely, diarrhea can, the other end of the spectrum can be problematic too, and I feel like that tends to be more with, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, diarrhea. It tends to, I feel, kind of hook more on with inflammatory conditions and pain conditions, and thus tension and tightness and spasm and that kind of thing. And then on the other end of the spectrum, when people are slower and things are kind of stuck and there's a lot of pressure because of that stuckness in the bowel, it causes that, just that simple physical pressure of the bowel being full and pressing on the bladder, that itself can cause bladder leakage. And it also can help contribute to prolapse because of the pressure on the pelvic organs. And then of course, the real problem is the repeated straining to have a bowel movement, or even straining to pee, because sometimes people are pushing to get their pee out fast because they're in a hurry.
Yeah.
So anytime you're pushing anything, pee or poop, it's not good. It's, you know, you can do it once and it's not a problem. Just like you can wear high heels on a date, you know, every once in a while or whatever, and that's fine. But if you wear high heels every single day, it's really bad for your body. It's really bad for your feet. It's bad for your posture. And so once in a while, it's fine to push to poop or to push to pee, but it shouldn't happen every time. And some people are chronically constipated and chronically pushing to get their pee out fast. And those people are going to have prolapse. I mean,
yeah,
and not necessarily, but probably.
I would guess most of the time. I mean, if we take, I'm an acupuncturist, so I talk a lot about Chinese medicine. Chinese medicine talks about digestive deficiency and prolapse. Like, they were even talking about this 5,000 years ago.
Isn't that amazing? Why has it taken us so long to come back around to talking about it?
Oh, like the dang taboos. It's crazy. But yeah, they even talk about it in terms of deficiency and working on digestion. And so let's talk a little bit about what the principles of dietary stuff for a healthy pelvis. What do you need? What are some of the basics? Is it just general, or are there some things in particular that can help the pelvis more?
Okay, there's a few categories here. I have a real problem in a way with the, I absolutely think that you need to be eating plenty of fiber, and because we need to get things moving through. So lots and lots of fiber, and drinking water to help push it through. But I just want to like add this little caveat there, which is my big beef, which is that everybody's different. And so you need to know like what fiber works in your body. And for me, I actually grew up my entire life. I ate so much freaking fiber. You couldn't even, I was just like, I cannot get more fiber in my body. But I had such terrible constipation, such gut health issues. And I was a vegetarian, actually a vegan for a while. And I was eating only, whole grains, you know, brown rice, whole wheat bread. I mean, I went through a phase, of course, with the standard American diet with bagels and pasta and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, I was eating so much fiber, but a lot of raw vegetables, a lot of whole grains that had gluten in it. Turns out I was gluten sensitive. And so the fiber I was getting, it was a ton. And I was also drinking water, but it's like it wasn't working for me because I was sensitive to it. So you have to just know that there are food sensitivities that are going to make some fibers not work for you. And also, Like I really do very well with cooked vegetables instead of raw. And so the fiber kind of changes a little bit. And I mean, it's still fibrous, but it's a little different. It's less roughage and it's easier to digest. So everyone is different. I also study Ayurveda, so very similar, super connected to the gut health, and I'm very Vata is my typology, and so no wonder I thrive off of the cooked, grounded, you know, heavily oiled foods that kind of slide on through, and the raw foods just did not work for me. So the docs would tell me, eat more salad, eat more whole grains, eat more whole wheat bread, brown rice, that kind of stuff, and it just stops me up. Beans, they make other people have good, not everybody does well with beans.
Yeah.
And so you just have to like know your differences. So that's one aspect is fiber is huge, but just make sure that you're listening to your body. And then the other aspect I am a proponent. I'm not a vegan anymore. And I am a proponent of collagen. Yeah. And so I do take supplemental collagen. And if somebody's not a vegan, I usually recommend it or bone broth, which is fantastic.
There's even collagen now that we found that is extracted from algae. So vegan can have a little bit of it. I think my only concern is where's the algae coming from, you know, and how toxic is that water? But nevertheless, we do have some option for everybody. And yeah, collagen is what's being degraded in the body as we lose hormones and in particular as estrogen declines. So huge component for the ladies. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk a little bit about how folks can work with you because you have some options. You have the Fem Squad, you have the Shine Inner Circle. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit more in terms of details. How can folks get into those groups and what can they expect?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yeah. So Fem Squad, I'm not sure when this is going to air. When is this? Do you have any idea?
It's going to be in about 6 weeks.
Okay. So actually Fem Squad right now, this is my really fun way to work with people. I love it. It's super fun. It's a group coaching program and a community of women who are all really, you know, they're going through similar things, but we're all different. We all just want to live our best lives, but pretty much everyone in the group does have pelvic health concerns. And it's a Facebook group, a private Facebook group. And we have a community with monthly themes and wellness challenges that I moderate every day I'm in there. And then twice a month, we have group coaching calls where people can ask me anything. So it's very low priced for what folks are getting because it is a group experience. But I will say that doors are closing for this round, at least on February 14th. So it might not be open, but there should be a waiting list if this airs later. There should be a waiting list that people can sign up for you know, when I open it again. And then the other way to work with me, if you are interested in essential oils, I help people with that. I love essential oils. They're really a part of my personal life. And I think, you know, it's such a holistic thing to be, you know, we eat clean. We already talked about moving every day and then shining brighter, less toxic living and just enjoying life, smelling good smells and being happy, all that. So that's another way to work with me. And then my Shine Cleanse is the eat clean component. And that is a 7-day food-based cleanse. It's not starving yourself. And that is done as a group twice a year. You can join anytime and do it on your, you know, do it whenever. But then if you want to, you can join in with our group twice a year. So we always do one in the spring, in May, and then also in the fall. And once you're in for life. So it's, you know, you can do it as many times as you want. So those are the ways to currently work with me, but I have, things are always changing. I mentioned I'm Vata. So I am, you never know what you're going to get with me. The one thing that's been consistent is YouTube. And that is really an awesome way to, you know, work with me as well. And just something that means so much to me is when people do subscribe to my channel, it actually really helps me as a subscription. And also another thing that sounds so silly and it's totally free and it's easy is a thumbs up or a like or a comment. I don't always get back to everyone in the comments because I just can't anymore. There's too many comments, which is a good thing, but it helps get my videos in front of more eyes. The more thumbs up, the more comments, and the more subscribers.
Oh, Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Everybody who's on this listening to this, oh my goodness, you guys need to subscribe to FemFusion Fitness, Dr. Bree's YouTube channel, because it's awesome. It'll change your life. It's definitely changed a lot of my patients and my own, because I always check in. I do my hip circles regularly. Whenever I'm flying on a plane, I'm sitting there doing my hip circles, or when I'm
That's awesome. I have an airplane fitness and a bathroom fitness too, so that's perfect.
Oh my God, I love the bathroom fitness. By the way, one that I do tell folks a lot, I'm like, just go in the bathroom. Everyone has to go to the bathroom, and that's when you got to breathe. So
exactly.
I'll be like, you know, take a habit, create another good habit on top of it. It's going to stick.
It's so easy. And there's, I do release a new video every week. And also, I have a podcast now too. So it's Dr. Bree Talks Lady Bits. And it's basically my book. I'm reading chapter by chapter and I'm revising it as I go. How fun is that?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And we can find it on iTunes.
All the places, iTunes, Spotify, all that. It's Dr. Bree Talks Lady Bits. So if you just want to kind of dive in and immerse yourself in pelvic health love, I've got you covered. You could never get bored with all that I have.
Good. I will put all of this on my website at drjcrossmd.com in my show notes. And I'll also put it on it's thehealthfixpodcast.com. And so it'll be on both of those. So whichever site that you're used to finding information from me, folks, go over there. You'll get that there. Subscribe to FemFusion Fitness. I swear to God, it'll change your life. I'm not kidding. And it will just be, if nothing else, it's just a great resource to have for you, you know, and your friends, get your friends involved. It's just a fun thing. And I've done it for ladies' nights, making folks do their hip circles.
Oh, yes.
All my friends are, they know the hip circle thing. They know you. And so, yes, it is. It's
you guys will have to do spiral dance FOGO when it comes out.
I am on it. You can sign me up.
It's got powerful jungle music even. You got to kind of laugh a little bit when it comes. It gets serious. You kind of do shields with your arms and it gets good. You're going to love it.
God. I'm going to do a video of us doing it and then send that to you on
Instagram. It.
I think that is, just stay tuned, folks. There's going to be good things to come. Dr. Bree, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.